It is time for the Chatham County Roundup here on 97.9 The Hill. Each week we take a look at what is happening just across the county line and affecting our friends and neighbors over in Chatham County. Happened a little bit later this week, but I am delighted to have back in the studio with me Randy Voller, editor and publisher of the Chatham County Line paper and magazine. Randy, how's it going?
It's great to be back.
It is great to have you because it seems like there's been a decent bit of news from Chatham this week. Of course, the news on Monday of there being a new county commissioner, Robert Logan, getting the official appointment and is going to be sworn in during the board's next meeting on February 21st. Obviously, being a former mayor of Pittsburgh and Logan being a former superintendent of Chatham County Schools, I imagine that maybe your two paths have crossed. What are your thoughts on this move and kind of how all the appointment process went down?
Well, ironically, our paths did cross in the past. Robert Logan's a great guy. He was initially hired by Chatham County and made history by becoming the first African-American superintendent of Chatham County Schools when he was hired years ago, and he lives in Chatham County. When Jim Crawford stepped down, you and I discussed the process for replacing him. The county party, of course, goes through their process and makes a recommendation. The county chair, Liz Guinan, made a presentation on Monday, and the board voted to receive it, and they'll be appointing him at their ceremonial appointment, ceremonial process on the 21st. But this is actually a pretty big deal. For the first time since the 1990s, Chatham County will have two African-American county commissioners since the days when we had Margaret Pollard of the Margaret Pollard Middle School that people know near Briar Chapel, and Uva Holland were served briefly on the board together. But with Franklin on the board, who was actually acting as vice chair last night, the Chatham County Board is going to be a majority-minority board, and there are 100 county commissions in the state. It would be interesting to know how many are majority-minority, especially those where the population in the county is more than 70% white. This is interesting.
Yeah, no kidding. And it seems to also aptly reflect how Chatham County and frankly, North Carolina as a whole is continuing to become a more diverse state. I mean, the census update that we got in this last year, even though we're still waiting on some more information to trickle out, clearly points to North Carolina being a state where not only is the population growing, but just the different types of folks in those populations are going too.
Yes, we definitely have growth in the Hispanic community, and you're seeing it in a number of areas across the state, of course, in Chatham County around Siler City. But you're also seeing a growth in what some call the API population, Asian American Pacific Islanders. You've got a large number of folks in Morrisville and Cary that would identify that they are Indians from India. Of course, that leads to an awful lot of great places to go eat, and we're certainly hoping to get some of those restaurants over in Chatham County. But I'm seeing a lot of folks coming to Chatham County that from a diverse population looking to buy property, looking to buy houses, looking to make a home or build a business in and around Pittsburgh and up and down the 15501 corridor.
And I know that through this kind of appointment process, it was important for the candidates to submit an application answering some questions for the county commissioners in the county government. That public record, and you've gotten your hands on them. What stands out to you about Robert Logan's answers to some of the questions in his application?
Robert Logan has made it known where he stands on things. He was a stand-up superintendent for the school system. He's out there saying that we need to have an abundant and clean water supply. I don't think he's going to get a lot of pushback from people. We've talked about this a number of times.
Oh, yeah.
That fresh, clean drinking water is a necessity for human survival, and you really don't have a town if you don't have clean drinking water, and that's been an issue in Pittsburgh, right, with the Haw River. And he's also talking about smart growth or growing in a way that makes sense, and also addressing some of the affordable housing issues, which I think that is going to be a continuing issue in Chatham County. I mean, anecdotally, I own properties with my wife that we rent, and I know a lot of other people in the real estate business, and there just is not a supply of affordable places to rent. So we put on the market a place we have, and six or seven people immediately want it and need it. And this is a problem and a challenge. Getting good, safe, available housing that is also affordable. And I think Robert's going to be a voice for that as well.
We're speaking with Randy Voller of the Chatham County Line. Their website, chathamcountyline.org. And again, Robert Logan officially going to be sworn onto the Chatham County Board of Commissioners coming up at their meeting on February 21st. What else is the Chatham County Line taking a look at for either their most recent
this
episode?
This issue that we're going to be putting out?
Yeah.
It's Black History Month, and we're probably going to be, among other things, reprinting a big spread that we did last year that essentially shows a map of Chatham County, the famous N.A. Captain Ramsey map, which actually shows Chatham County before a piece of it got sliced off to form Lee County. A lot of people don't know that Lee County was one of the last counties formed, and it was cut out of Harnett County, Moore County, and Chatham back when they had this idea that you had to be a horseback ride away a distance between a county seat, and apparently it was too far to go from Pittsburgh to Carthage or over to Dunn, so they created Lee. But on this map, it has some really interesting information. It shows you, for instance, where the slave populations were and the family names they're connected with. And for instance, in 1860, so at the beginning of the Civil War in this country, Pittsburgh had over 4,000 slaves, which is actually more people than it had when I was mayor, right, when we did the census.
Wow.
And when you looked at what the value, and this is, you know, one of the issues that we have to reconcile when people talk about learning from history and understanding history, the real estate value in Pittsburgh in 1860, according to county records, was about $1,500,000. Now, this is in 1860 dollars, but the value of the slave holdings was $3,195,000. So that chattel property was worth twice as much as the real estate. And so we feel that putting out this kind of information, and then I have a state map that goes with it, shows where these concentrations were, kind of help people to understand these structures. When folks talk about structural racism and things that have kind of been baked into place, if you can see it and understand and learn from it, then we can address it, you know, in 2022.
Yeah, especially as we live in such a community that has such a deep history. I mean, there's still so many parts of Chatham County and Orange County that, you know, date back, or at least kind of look back at times in the early 20th century and even dipping into the 19th century. And we're just frankly not that far removed from that time when a lot of things were different, and we're trying to kind of reconcile with that right now. And
I don't think we've ever actually had a real truth and reconciliation. I mean, there was an awful lot of consternation around the state and the country that had to do with the Confederate monuments, for instance. I'm not for erasing history. I'm for full understanding of history. But, you know, in the case of Pittsburgh, I think people needed to understand that that monument was on public ground and it needed to be moved, right? And this is part of a whole truth and reconciliation process of just understanding our history, being truthful about it, not being judgmental and trying to hurt people, and being able to move forward affirmatively. And that's part of why we want to put out information that helps to educate, helps people learn something, and hopefully that they can take that forward.
Yeah, yeah. We're speaking with Randy Voller. Anything else that people should look out for in this upcoming edition of the Chatham County Line?
Well, we've still been working on trying to get records from the town of Pittsburgh with the Main Street program. We had submitted something a while back, a FOIA request, and we're 4 months in and we still haven't gotten the information. I've always been big on transparency when I was in government as a mayor. And as soon as we have that information, we're going to make it available to find out exactly what happened and, you know, why there were changes. But we can't give a complete picture without actually seeing, you know, some of those documents that the town needs to send over.
And this has been a story, obviously, we've been following for this last week or so. As from your perspective of former mayor, we get this news from the state Supreme Court about, hey, the redistricting maps might need to be redrawn again before the 2022 elections are here, just a few months away. Do you think that the Chatham County community is going to be affected by that? It does seem like Orange County will largely expected to not change all that much, but I don't know about Chatham.
Well, traditionally, you know, we've been in District 54, which is Robert Reeves' seat, and for a long time, Joe Hackney had that seat, right? there's been some movement on the Senate district, and I think Valerie Fouché was taken away from us. Now she's, of course, running for Congress. You know, I've been disappointed, you know, in my 30 years here, how many times the lines have moved around, because it takes away the ability for local populations and local officials to connect to their congressperson, specifically because those lines seem to move a lot. I mean, right now, I guess we're in the 6th or 7th congressional district, but, you know, David Price is still our congressperson. And, you know, when I was mayor, we had David Price and Bobby Etheridge. I mean, I wish they could settle on a system that was good for the people and stop, you know, having the politicians, you know, pick their voters and let the voters pick the politicians. I mean, the gerrymandering process has simply been abused by all sides. It's just time to let, you know, a commission or the people handle it and let the chips fall as they may at elections. If your ideas aren't good enough for you to get elected, maybe you don't need to be an elected official.
Well, you mentioned confusion for the voters and lack of connection for who they're voting on. It's also confusion and kind of part of the whole, well, is it equitable for voters to truly understand who and where they're voting? Because if you change districts around, district lines around, it means that that might shape entirely where they're able to go vote or what they even know to do on election day.
Well, and also, yeah, you're talking about moving, you know, where their voting locations. I mean, there had been a reform proposed that I believe the executive directors of all 100 counties got behind, which was to have permanent voting centers. We supported that when I was party chair, and I think that's a good idea. I mean, why do we have to have this early voting, you know, and then have precincts? Why don't we just have voting centers in every county that, you know, every election you go there in early voting and on election day so people don't get confused? I mean, to me, it should be open ballot access and let the best ideas win, right? By constantly moving things around and changing who you're voting for, it breeds cynicism. It makes people disconnected from their elected officials, and it makes people not want to participate in the process. And, you know, suppressing that vote probably benefits a certain segment of people, but it's not good for a healthy democracy.
Well, I imagine once we figure out the future of what the new district maps are going to look like for Chatham County, you'll be able to read it in the Chatham County Line, their website, chathamcountyline.org, if you want to check out all the other stories they've been covering recently, and a new edition hitting stands quite soon as well. Randy Voller, as always, thank you so much for the time, and we'll be chatting with you again soon on the Chatham County Roundup.
And it's always great to be here.